jobs. They just want to listen to people who are doing the work, right? And you guys know it better than anybody. They want to hear how deals are getting done.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of The Cusp Show, the Columbia University Sports Podcast. I'm Tom Richardson. I'm here with my partner, Joe Favorito. We have not done a pod together in a seems like 2 months, but it's been a few weeks, Joe. How are you?
Well, it's Groundhog Day, Tom. So that's kind of the way, so that's the way we view this whole program is you just kind of start all over again.
Okay, that's fair. I know you've been busy. I want to hear about some of the interesting things you've been working on or seeing in the last week or two. But I will also like to note, as I did in the pre-call, that today is a momentous day in the evolution of digital media history with the launch of Apple Vision Pro officially on sale as of today, February 2. Exciting day for those of us that follow this stuff, and already some interesting sports samples circulating around, including one NBA one, which is kind of eye-popping, which I'll we should share with everybody. It's quite interesting. Anyway, big day in tech, very exciting. But what have you been up to? What's
So first of all, Tom, you didn't tell everybody because they can't see this. Tom and I actually have our Apple Vision Pro goggles on.
Right. Yeah, that would have been a good one.
This is the first podcast ever done with the Apple Vision Pro.
In spatial computing, Joe. That's what we call it, spatial computing. That would have been terrific. You know what? Don't laugh. That's probably the way pods will be done within a couple of years.
Well, we're doing it right. Don't lie to people. We're doing it right now. So anyway.
Well, yeah. That's assuming you somehow got to an Apple store in the last 3 hours, which is and waited online to get one, I think. Anyway, what's going on?
Everything's great. Thanks for asking. Some amazing stops along the way. I was at the Stanford Sports Business Conference last week, which the tremendous leadership of George Foster, what was put together by their students, lots of really interesting panels, saw a lot of people. I mean, it was amazing to see how the VC and the tech community turned out for that event. They probably had about 300 people. One of the great speakers, and a shout out to one of our students, Max Iger, who had connected us, was listening to R.C. Buford talking about the culture of the Spurs and how the Spurs were built.
Oh, cool.
And there's a chance, Tom, we may have RC on campus in the fall next year.
Oh, good. Nice.
And, you know, women's sports stuff was always interesting to hear, really interesting stuff about the WNBA.
By the way, Joe, I'm all in on this Caitlin Clark.
So funny you mentioned that.
I watched the game for the first time ever on Peacock. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. I guess I had not known, since I was not a Peacock subscriber until a few weeks ago for that NFL playoff game, that the Big Ten women's basketball games are on Peacock. So I got an alert saying, see Caitlin Clark at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, oh, ESPN, whatever. Yeah. No, it was Peacock. And that's the first time I've watched a live sports event on Peacock. They did a good job. And this is a phenomenon that I hope everybody's paying attention to. Certainly the fans are, because she's selling out wherever she goes.
So here's the test, and we can ask our guests this test as well. Mike Greenberg talked about this on ESPN radio when I was driving around the other day. He said, I can name Caitlin Clark. I cannot name three men's basketball players right now who are prominent players, like stars.
In college.
Name three.
Right.
You can't do it. She is the face, not of women's basketball, but of all college basketball. And it's tremendous. Right. And I think it's great. You know, obviously the stars at UConn and some of the other players, what the women of Troy are doing, or I guess they're still called the women of Troy.
USC. Yeah.
It's great. It's going to be an interesting run. Obviously LSU still very big. And not to downplay, even though they are in second place, but the Columbia women are pretty good too.
Yeah,
along with the Princeton women, by the way.
Yeah.
So,
Joe, am I correct in saying, or Glenn, maybe you know this too? I feel like I've seen some nights where women's college is on ESPN and the men's is on ESPN too.
I think that there are deals that work out, but I mean, obviously, it's still swayed in one way. Although you can watch, parkour or your favorite
Right. World Chase
logistic
Tag.
as well.
Yeah,
So,
don't forget World Chase Tag.
but anyway, so before that, I was at the NWSL draft. I think we did a show after that. But I also, yesterday, Thursday, the first day of February, I ventured 15 miles from my house and went to Secaucus, New Jersey, American Dream Mall Entertainment Center, to watch the U.S. Curling Championships for an hour. So
seriously? That's where they were held? In
Secaucus? Yeah, that's where they are. It is sold out this weekend. Jared Allen, who played for the Chiefs and several other teams, is among the favorites. And by the way, the other thing I found out is the CEO of USA Curling lives in New Jersey. So go figure. So
wait, so what's the venue where they're having this?
It's on the ice. There's an ice rink in American Dream, which is the mall outside MetLife Stadium.
Oh, that's what used to be called Xanadu?
Xanadu, yes. So,
Okay, I've never been
there. The other thing I will tell you is, as part of my magical mystery tour, when I was going through the Bay Area, I had last Thursday, I stopped at St. Mary's College, the other Gales, and we'll be talking about the East Coast Gales when our guest joins us in a couple of minutes, because that's where I met him, by the way. Watched Shoot Around there for a couple of minutes, went with a friend of mine to Berkeley. I'd never been to Berkeley. We went around the Berkeley campus. And then I was going to the Warriors game last Thursday night to go to the Chase Center, which is very nice. And obviously they've redone that area. But in between that, I was driving to my hotel by the airport, and a sign popped up on the right side that said Cow Palace. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to try and get in. So those who don't know, the Cow Palace was the original home of the Golden State Warriors. And the last, I believe it was the site of the last concert of the Grateful Dead, a famous concert. It's a massive place. I'm like, I'll try. Like I did at the Anaheim Arena a couple of weeks ago. I pulled up. The gate had just gone up. I waved to the security guard. He let me walk right in. And there I was standing in the middle of the Cow Palace. So another arena checked off my list.
Wow. So they're still having events. It's still being used.
It's still being used. Yeah. For concerts and some other things, but it is just outside the border of San Francisco on the way to the airport. It has been redone. It looks really outside. It looks beautiful, but it's a massive place. And people are like, how did you get in? I'm like, the gate went up. I waved to the guy. I walked in. Nobody stopped me. Just like I did at the Anaheim Arena 2 weeks ago. So if I'm coming to a town near you, be careful, because I'm going to some obscure place that I've never been to.
You better up your security if Joe's in town.
I don't know where I'm going to go in Las Vegas when I'm there next week for Super Bowl.
Oh, that's right. You have Vegas coming up too. Well, Joe, you're living a way more exciting life than I am.
This is actually what I'm going to do, and let's get to our guest. Yeah. I'm going to the main parking lot of the Tropicana and stand in what will be center field with the view of home plate for when they build the A stadium there. So,
All right. Anyway,
let's go.
Yeah, we've got a great guy on today.
Second time, right?
Second. Yeah, the last time I checked, it was 2022, but he's kind of got a new identity. You know, he kind of has a new disguise. Anybody in the sports business who's been around for a little bit, I'd say probably 99% of the people that are listening from the sports business know this gentleman. And I'm pleased that he'll be getting to speak with other listeners, with all the young folks listening, to learn from him, because he's got so much to offer. Anyway, we're talking about industry veteran, old colleague of mine, longtime colleague of mine, Glenn Horine, who is now the Chief Operating Officer of the Sports and Fitness Industry Association, sometimes called SFIA. It's a relatively new position. Glenn had been consulting with them for a while, but was recently named COO. Glenn has had an amazing career, all kinds of interesting stops, both in the professional sports and marketing worlds, but also in academia. Not only is he a two-time grad of Iona University,
the Gales, East Coast Gales,
the East Coast Gales. He is also the founder of, I believe, Glenn, is this true? The founder of the sports certificate. I don't know what the official name of the sports program was. You can correct me in a second, but he was one of the pioneers, I'd say, in the last 15 years of really advancing sports business education at the graduate level. He was a huge inspiration for me, more than an inspiration. He was actually the individual that got me into teaching. He was nice enough to offer me my first opportunity at then Iona College and dragged me into the world with a little trepidation, but we worked well together and had a great experience at Iona before I moved on and he moved on. Anyway, Glenn, I could keep going. NHL, where we met,
Well,
arena
I can
football, et
tell you where I
cetera.
met Glenn.
Okay, go.
Glenn was a sales guy for Canada Dry at that point when we
Wow. Oh,
met.
all
Yeah.
right. Yeah.
Well,
Joe, it actually goes before that. I mean, we go back to FUV
Yeah.
and Iona Fordham. Those were rivalries. Those were true rivalries. Pat Kennedy, Tom Penders. Tom, you would think Joe Favorito, Mike Breen, and Michael Kay walking into what was then the Mulcahy Center for a
Wow.
Donnybrook between the Rams and the Gales, and it
And
would
there
be
was a
like a,
fight in that. There was a fight in that game.
oh yeah,
So,
it would be like a
yeah.
53-52 type of
Yeah.
score. There's nothing in the 70s. It was just knockout, drag out. They didn't like each other very much, all right?
And
But it
then I
was
ended up
old
working at
school.
Iona, which is even
Yeah.
funnier.
It was just old school. It's the thing I think I miss most about about the landscape of where college athletics is today and the power of schools and conferences. But what's lost sometimes is just those rivalries. And you think about now, the former Pac-10 and some of those rivalries that have will break up. There's nothing like having a school, like in this case, from New Rochelle to Rose Hill, what is it, 8 miles, 10 miles, whatever it is,
It's actually less. It's six
it's
miles.
less. Six
Is it
miles,
really?
right? Yeah,
Yeah.
it's that close. So yeah, I missed those days, but yes, that's where I first met Joe before the Canada Dry days.
That's funny. Glenn, I think we can go back and forth from the old experiences to the new experience, but let's just level set on SFIA, because that's kind of the big story from the world of Glenn Horan. I'm not sure how many people, younger people, know about us. So why don't you start with an overview of SFIA, a brief one, and then I've got a bunch of questions about it. Would love to hear some in your answer as we get into the convo about some of the research you've done, because I think as someone who's had the pleasure to go to one of your events, that's one of the things I did not know that they did that I think is quite interesting, really good stuff, and really interesting to the leaders of the sports business.
Well, any business sector, there's always a trade association that represents that industry. Trying to look at the overall good of the industry and representing that industry. And so the Sports Fitness Industry Association is just that. We represent over 700 brands in the U.S. So this is really U.S. As much as some of our members do distribute, obviously in Canada, but also globally. It is really focused on the US. And what we try to do here is represent the members both on Capitol Hill as relates to any issues that they see that would be pertinent to their business, growing their business. We're looking for affordability and accessibility in sports. So if there's something there that Congress can work together on, and don't laugh at that, but if Congress could work together on to provide funding for sports participation at the youth level, we're there. We're trying to promote that with Congress to do so on behalf of our members. So the public policy and being an advocate with the government is a big thing of what we do. Two is what you just made mention before is research. So we do over 125, don't quote me on each and every one of them at this point, still new, but 125 single sport reports. And those are about the participation trends. So when you're a member, whether it's footwear, whether it's sporting goods, equipment, you want to know the trend lines of a particular sport that you're making product for. Is it going up? Is it going down? How do you break it? How do you break it out? So we look at 6 to 12, 13 to 17, 18 and older. So the manufacturers have an idea as they're planning about product. Where are their opportunities? Where are their challenges? So the research and the business intelligence that we can provide our members is really essential to them and a huge member value. A third is really for us is about from a thought leadership perspective. and providing, forums for peer-to-peer resourcing, with our members, different things that they may share in common. Yes, there are competitors within our membership, but what can we do to help facilitate areas of, mutual interest for them as far as the industry? You can talk about, women's products in sports, and you're starting, you're seeing more and more an evolution of not just Pinkit and Trinket, but product that is specific to women. You're seeing more and more, women's sports really evolve now from a following standpoint at the professional level, which will trickle down to college, which will trickle down to high school and to youth sports. So that's really important. That's something else that we want to promote as an industry, in addition to product innovation. You were just talking about, Apple, and we have a program called the Startup Challenge, and that's about promoting product innovation within sports. And arguably, in the sporting industry, we're probably behind, some of the other major sectors out there as far as product innovation. But we're trying to work with our members and then bring in some new members who are really focused on product innovation. So those are some of the things that, from a trade association, we try to do and represent for our members, as well as bringing in, non-members.
So, touch a little bit on scope and size. You mentioned, and I'd love you to kind of touch on the newer types of members that have come in, because I think people hear the name and they say, oh, basketballs and sneakers. How many, is it the biggest companies and the smallest companies? Is it international? Is it also, like I said, if you could touch on like who are the new ones? Like who, maybe you can't name names, but who are the companies that have now suddenly come in who 5 years ago wouldn't have even thought about a membership?
Well, it is a wide range. So from a at the top, when I say the top end, probably the largest on the brand side, consumer brand side, you're looking at a Nike and an Adidas. In addition to having those type of apparel and footwear companies, we also work with the professional leagues too. So you name it, whether it's the NBA, the NFL, National Hockey League, Major League Baseball, they're also members. The governing bodies are members as well. What they're in, a lot of those companies, and one of the things that we try to do with the governing bodies, the leagues, and the manufacturers is also help from a compliance and standards perspective of looking at the equipment. And I was just in a meeting last week down at the PGA show. With the RA and USGA talking about the ball. You may have heard some of this in the news about they are proposing to change some of the specs on the ball because the ball is going too far in today's game, in their minds. That's a big issue as it relates to any manufacturer. If you're going to change a spec of a product, that in this case is played by both the professional athlete as well as the consumer. And so it's a major issue when you're saying we're going to change the specs on a particular product that is marketed and then sold to the consumer. So that was a very interesting conversation that took place there. But one of the things that we do with those type of members and even smaller members is looking at the standards and the compliance and making sure that everybody is playing fair. We as a trade association are not setting, what the standards are. We're trying to make sure that the protocols and the process are followed between the manufacturers and the governing bodies about what the specs are, and if there are any changes to a product, that they're following those particular rules or governance that they've set forth, with their members there. And just to answer your question, Joe, on far as some of the new members, I know Replayer is one that we just brought in. They won a startup challenge, and that's another one in the tech category that is really kind of capturing the youth sports experience, similar to Game Changer, being able to kind of replay. They've been very focused on soccer, but being able to be on the field and really kind of stream, those soccer games, and specifically in this case, back to, mom and dad or grandpa and grandma, to be able to watch. So we've watched a lot of those companies, kind of come into focus now that the technology of being able to see a grandchild or son or daughter play really helps grow the focus on youth sports participation and the excitement of youth sports participation.
One other follow-up. So what about things like games? Can games, if they're hard games like lawn darts or pickleball or board games, did those, how do you kind of
Slam
figure out
ball.
who should be slam ball? Right, exactly. Who should be in and who, by the way, official beer, Pabst Blue Ribbon this week.
Is that
Signed.
right?
Anyway, slam
Nice.
ball. Yeah. Anyway,
PBR.
so how is there kind of like an outside, like you have to be this number of people. How are the parameters on the gaming side factor in?
Well, I think, you bring up pickleball, and pickleball has been, on everybody's mind. You guys play pickleball?
Once in a
It
blue
was my
moon.
Christmas gift, actually. Once it
Yeah.
gets a little bit warmer. Yes.
All
Sorry.
right. All
Sorry.
right. All right. But pickleball has been, kind of the high topic over the last couple of years and the growth. And we just got some recent research that hasn't been released yet, but the numbers continue to just the skyrocket on pickleball and
Participation.
pickleball on participation. And it's a good example about one of the things that we're doing. Pickleball right now, you have so many people who are in the game as it relates to manufacturers. So between the paddles, between the balls, between even some eye protection. And what we're trying to do as a trade association is work with the governing bodies and the manufacturers about setting standards. Because it's a relatively, it's not, a brand new sport, but it isn't a case of where it is participation wise. And they're trying to make it a professional sport, which you got, various professional associations now involved, but also from a consumer standpoint about buying the product. And there's a the product is all over the map as far as specifications on the paddles or rackets, however you want to look at it, the balls. And what we're trying to do is bring some type of a semblance in order and bringing the manufacturers and the governing bodies together so there is one set of standards that everybody follows. And it's a really unique situation where you have a sport that now has evolved to this degree. You have so many manufacturers who are involved at some level of producing product, and they're all trying to figure out and find some guidance about what are the specs that they should be going by for making paddles. And right now, it's still kind of an unknown about what those specs are. And we, as a trade association, are forming a pickleball council. We have councils for baseball, softball, for soccer, for football, that work with the manufacturers and the governing bodies to help on those standards and the compliance protocols. And pickleball is no different. Pickleball is it was just out, as I said, I was just down at the PGA show, and pickleball had a pretty significant presence at the pickleball show because there's a good crossover between pickleball and golf and people who play both. And there's a lot of excitement about where it's going, but there's also a lot of anxiety about who is really kind of leading the charge as far as what the specifications are on the product side. And
Right, because
that's the
the
role.
merger between the two leaders has not actually been consummated, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
But everybody's kind of laying claim about, here's the type of ball you should be playing with, or here's the type of racket you should be playing with.
Right, but there's no NFL or NBA or MLB to appeal to kind of get it done, sounds like.
Yeah, there's I think three associations right now who are kind of vying for that
Right,
role.
yeah.
And so what we're working with right now is just, with the manufacturers who are looking for guidance. They're looking for direction.
Hey Glenn, let's talk for a few minutes about some of the research you did. I know that part of the agenda is to do research that tracks youth participation in the different sports in these different age breaks. We know that that's very important to the sports industry for obvious reasons, not just on the licensing and manufacturing side, but the idea of fan development. Can you talk about some stuff you've uncovered in recent reports? Some of the stuff, for example, you shared when you did that presentation in New York about some of the pros and, or not pros and cons, but ups and downs, let's say, of different sports in the mix.
Yeah, I think, you said pickleball is like a hockey stick, so that's, that continues to just go off the charts there. I think, some of the interesting ones, when you look at football, you look at flag football, and the NFL is very, very focused on flag football and where it's going. They're looking at, the conversion rate from somebody who starts out in flag football and how it lends itself to tackle. Mom and dad being concerned about, their son or daughter getting injured. And so flag football is a good entry point. And then it gives them more time to kind of think about, do they want their son or daughter playing tackle,
And is
later on in
there
life?
any evidence that it is a gateway sport into tackle
Yeah.
football? Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So it's a good introduction. And, there's also been talk, in the state of California about banning tackle football at that youth level. All right. Now, that
Wow.
doesn't look like that's going through this year, but it was proposed. But you're also finding more and more states now that are looking to adopt a championship for flag football, especially on the girls' level. And I think you'll see more flag football evolve on the college level, right? But a lot of that goes to, reading the research. And so that's why the leagues really lean on us to kind of look at those trend lines to say, what is this telling us right now about, in this case, flag football? What is it telling us about conversion? Down the road, they're also interested about, from a conversion standpoint, of participation to fandom. That's down the road. But flag football is definitely one that you want to take notice of. I think overall, what we've seen from participation, and I know in this latest survey, which again has not been released, so you guys are hearing it first, but the inactivity number is very, very encouraging in a sense that it's I think it's close to an all-time low from an inactivity standpoint, which means a good thing that more and more people are being active in some type of sports participation or fitness participation, which is very, very encouraging. We just finished up getting some of that data in over the last week or so. So we'll be presenting that over the course of the next couple months, as far as what those data results are. But we canvassed like 18,000 people during the course of the year to get these results in 125 different sports. And there isn't anything that I would say, from a trend standpoint that is like pickleball being the one exception that is like, wow, that's a really downturn. I think things for the most part, just top line, are very healthy as far as sports participation for all sports. There are some that are a little bit soft, but for the most part, I think it's very encouraging.
How many of the 125 sports can you name?
Well,
Just kidding.
if I could just, if I can just list them all, I can go saltwater fishing.
There
All
you
right.
go.
So we start there. I was talking with Scott Becker the other day, so
Good guy.
I got to get him some information on saltwater fishing there. But it's a wide variety. It's funny about, the various sports, out there, and it's a lot. It's a lot of information. We work with a variety of organizations to kind of gather that information. So we are basically, again, a gathering source for a variety of organizations that kind of feed this information into one source, and then we help disseminate that information back out.
Glenn,
Glenn,
is it
oh, go ahead.
all quantitative, or do you do some qualitative or sentiment analysis? In other words, is more interpretive stuff about thoughts about sports and interest in sports and things like that?
It's mostly quantitative. We're looking at doing more qualitative in the future, because we think, right now, people rely on us for, these trend lines, but they also want to go deeper. They want to go deeper as it relates to consumer insights. They want to go deeper, especially if you're a professional league, to see that linkage between sports participation at various age ranges to being a fan. So we're looking at new partnerships and strategic partnerships to help us kind of enhance some of that research to provide better insights for our partners and members.
Glenn, you've been around the industry. Obviously, we've talked about hockey and football, and for those who don't know, most 99% people won't know, the three of us spent a Friday night in a cage a few weeks ago watching Bull
The
Riders.
shark cage. Yes.
What's when you first got into this and started looking at it, were there a couple things that just jumped out as like, I had no idea moments? In terms of the data or engagement, or a couple things that were really kind of like eye-popping that, you love to share with people.
Well, I think just overall about a trade association. So, and Tom Cove, our CEO, I've known going back to Tom, our NHL days. And Brian Jennings said, "Hey, I want you to go down to this event." It was at that point called SGMA, which at that point still had the Super Show, all right, that I
Oh,
think
that's right. Yeah,
we've
where it
all
started.
went to one or two of those in our lifetime. And so, just thinking about a trade association, you think you know what a trade association is or does. You guys asked the question early on. I didn't know all the inner workings of the trade association. And some of the, it's amazing just some of the calls that, we get about different situations. It could be a shipping or a logistics issue, halfway across the world. All right. And can we talk to somebody in Washington who knows, about why it's being blocked or stopped? Dealing with Congress, all right, and particular bills. I mean, we've been working on this bill, the FIT Act, that would allow for it's kind of a FSA, where you're able to spend money on things that promote your physical fitness, but it would be a tax benefit there. And that's been in, Congress for a while, trying to get that bill passed. But just learning about the different things of how we work with the government in promoting affordability and accessibility of sports was something that, I was not aware of, when I first started this one. The depth of the research, you guys talked about before, 125 reports and major reports that, people really lean on, was something else that I really wasn't aware of there. So there's a variety of things, and then the board that really governs SFIA and the leadership, and listening to the board members talk about the greater good of the industry. And, obviously, all these companies who are members could spend money on a variety of things that promote their brand. But that there's a, it's really interesting to listen to them talk about the greater good of the industry and what we as a trade association in partnership with them, the members, can do to help health and well-being in this country, right? If we work together, if we're able to work together with Congress, that we can make a difference, and that this group is committed. Now, we don't have everybody in the sporting goods and fitness world is not a member of SFIA, and we're trying to convince some of those who are not to join. But it's getting them to see the overall benefit about what their participation and what their voice and leadership could do to help this country be more physically fit. And if they're more physically fit, they're probably, from a health and mental well-being standpoint, they're also probably better off as well. So those are a variety of things that it just kind of took notice when I really started to kind of dig into this opportunity.
Who knows, Joe? Maybe one of these days we'll see Glenn at a congressional hearing, pulling
No.
like a Ken. We'll see if he's like Kendall Roy or Cousin Greg.
Well, John Aranda was this week.
Yes, I
He
saw
was
John.
supposed to be
Yes,
served. John Aran was this week? For what? I
this
didn't see
week,
that.
sports rights, sports rights.
Sports rights. Like, what was the premise of this inquiry or discussion?
It was a discussion on overall sports rights and how really kind of the consumer is either getting squeezed or not squeezed. So,
Oh, so that's an easy one.
yeah.
Squeezed would be the right answer. I don't know if it takes too much discussion to see that. That's really interesting because I think you're right. Most of us who have been around and have been tangentially around trade associations never really think about exactly what they're doing. Like when you named all that stuff, I hadn't thought about that for the other stuff I've been involved with, but you realize they're important. And I was thinking, Glenn, as you were talking, the old acronym was SGMA, right? From the 90s. Yeah. Okay. And I was just thinking how their fundamental needs in all businesses, and while there have been challenges and ups and downs, they somehow evolve to meet the market that they're finding themselves in. So if you think about trade associations, it's still a very important role for them. And it's not unlike any business where they need to move with the times and evolve themselves. And I know that's something you're trying to bring to it in terms of the new thinking and innovation, some of which is reflected in your entrepreneurial program. But I think that's really smart to kind of extend it beyond its comfort zone.
And one of the things that I've been fortunate to do, early on is be able to develop some what I'll call working committees. And so whether it's a marketing communications and events committee or a research committee or a people and culture committee, the idea is to bring the leaders of our members together, right, to get more awareness and knowledge about what we're trying to do as a trade association within those member organizations, but also facilitate peer-to-peer resourcing, where a lot of these members and these leaders from these particular organizations, they get a chance to be on a call to talk about issues in their particular functional area that they can have an additional resource. Now, in some cases, you do have competitors. You have competitive categories, apparel, footwear. So you do run into some of those areas where you have to step back and you have to be careful about what you say. But in a lot of the functional areas, that's not the case. Whether it's HR, people and culture, that's not the case. And they like to hear some of the pain points that they're going through that they can really understand or appreciate and be able to offer some guidance and get some input or give some input to them. So that's one of the things they're trying to do. Two is develop some programs, developed a program last year called the Accelerator Program, EXCEL, and that's a program that what came out of the People and Culture Committee to identify high-performing young professionals, those with 8 years or less experience from a member organization with diverse backgrounds. And the idea there is to really kind of promote having a career in the sporting goods and fitness industry. You guys know better than anybody else that media rights, sponsorships, those always are front and center when you're talking about academic programs, people, as far as thinking about the sports industry. That's at the top of mind. The sporting goods and fitness side, the actual product side, is not necessarily at the forefront. And we want students, we want people who are thinking about careers to think about, working within this industry, and that there are a lot of jobs within the sporting goods and fitness industry that they may not be aware of when they're in college or coming out of college. And if they're interested in sports, they think about media companies, they think about leagues, they think about teams, but they don't necessarily think about brands that are sporting goods or fitness companies. In a lot of cases, the academic programs don't really promote sporting goods or fitness industry either. And so I think this is an opportunity for us to try to promote the industry on the academic side as well as on the young professional side, and really try to keep some of the young, really high potential talent within the industry.
Glenn, how did you get into education? Let's go back to that. You
You went
because
to Iona, Tom. What else would you need to know?
well, the Iona thing was so nice because you undergrad, MBA, and then you found your way into the teaching side. But I don't really know the origin story of how you got that gig and started to lead that program.
Well, it was one of the things where, and Joe's very much a part of this, community, and he's had involvement with Iona. It was as things were developing over the 80s and 90s, and you're thinking about your alma mater, in this case, Iona, so many people were working at various companies. It could have been at ESPN, and it was a Tim McCarthy. At ESPN, and he was a general manager for them. But there were so many people who were in the sports industry, and I just thought it was an opportunity for the proximity of where, in this case, Iona is, New Rochelle, and being able to help students be connected to those in the industry, and just having the good fortune of having a pretty wide network. I wanted to be able to try to bring in some of those relationships to Iona. And a person that Joe knows very well, Rich Petriccioni, was still in leadership at that point at Iona. And I was talking to Rich, and he introduced me to some of the higher ups and somebody you know now, Tom, Vin Caluso. And we just started talking about the vision of connecting industry to the classroom, evolving our alumni. And so I just did a lot of research. And LinkedIn was just starting out at that point. So I used LinkedIn to really kind of investigate about where Iona alums were who were in the industry. And I convinced the school that this was a program to develop. And it started out as a certificate program at the graduate level. And I think as you well know, I was focused on developing an advisory board, not to have an 80-person advisory board, but really to have a portal that could go out to agencies, leagues, teams, brands, a variety of industry sectors that could connect them to our students and then bring those people on campus. And just have students, quite honestly, just want to listen to people who are doing the work, right? And you guys know it better than anybody. They want to hear how deals are getting done. They want to hear how a decision was made. They don't necessarily just want to read it through a book or an assignment, but they want to hear from the people who actually made it happen. And so I was able to kind of bring that vision to life at Iona and bring people like you, Tom, into the fold. And it was a terrific, faculty. It was able to build, right from the get-go in a variety of areas, in a variety of functional areas. And it was exciting that I was able to kind of grow it to the undergraduate side. And ultimately, I was able to bring in, a Ross Greenberg. I was able to bring in a George Bodenheimer, and taught a class with George Bodenheimer, which was a thrill. And I still remember, like, the second class after he taught the first class with me, in the second class, the students, they asked me, was he really the chairman of ESPN? Because George had just such a understated demeanor about himself. He was definitely not somebody who was going to pound his fist on the desk and just dictate that you do something. There was just the style that he had, convincing style, but he was a gentleman first in how he presented himself. And that was such a treat of teaching a class, with George and Ross, as Joe knows, is a master storyteller. And he's still at Iona now, on the arts and science side, on the master's, I think, communications program there. So that was great. And that's one of the things that I really love about the accelerator program that we're able to bring to SFIA is it's a chance for me to still be involved and help young professionals learn about, growing leadership, connecting them with people in the industry. And that's what we did this past year is We spent 6 months on the accelerator program of lunch and learn series, professional workshops, career counseling. And so we're growing it this year. We got more sponsors lined up for it this year. And I'm hoping eventually that this can develop into a young professional network for the sporting goods and fitness industry.
Glenn, my last question is looking forward. So what are some of the markers people should be looking for, both for the organization and for the industry in general in the next year? I mean, what, are there causes of concern? Are there really kind of uplifting things that people should be looking for? And then how do they find everything?
Well, I think, you know, I talked about before, women, girls, women's girls products. I think more development there. There's a big focus, a big emphasis being placed on that, and rightfully so. Pickleball, we talked about before, and how pickleball is going to continue to grow. I think one of the things that we're focusing on this year, and we have a conference coming up in Indianapolis on the 15th and 16th, that's our team sports conference, is looking at the global sporting events that are coming to the U.S. Over the course of the next several years, especially a lot of the soccer events coming to the U.S., and then the Olympics. With the Olympics, they're having the demonstration sports, or optional sports, I think is how they word it. Baseball, softball's back in, lacrosse is being added, and then flag football is a big part of that too, as well as cricket and squash. I think I got them all. But flag football, and looking at, you know, how are our manufacturers preparing for that springboard for those opportunities? And soccer, soccer can't be any better positioned than they are now to grow with the various events that are coming here to the United States, both for the men and for the women. So we're focused on soccer. We're focused on women's products. We're focused on pickleball. We're focused on flag football. But more than anything else, we're focused on how do we get more young kids playing sports early on, all right, and to be more active. And how can we work with our Congress, though that this is an election year, how can we work with Congress to help promote that as well, and to get their support?
All right, I'm going to just pivot over to career stuff, because you know we ask a couple of final questions, and I think the career one may take a little bit, have a little bit more substance with someone like you, because you truly are, I would describe you as a pioneer in career development, let's call it the aspect of all this stuff. So Joe, you probably know that when Glenn got that program going, one of the hallmarks of it, at least I thought it was, Glenn, was you did extracurricular events focused on career development. And that made a big impression on me as someone who got to speak at a couple of them. I still remember the one I did with Jim Schwabel by my side. Remember that one?
Yeah.
I remember kind of having a little bit of a, because it was before I was teaching, I believe, that I participated in those, like kind of an out of body experience. Like, this is really, really good information these young people are getting from these people here up on, you know, up on the dais. And you were really, really good about developing those programs and executing those programs. And they were, I thought, extremely valuable. You obviously did a lot of them. And I know you got good feedback from the students and the administrators. So talk about that motivation to go beyond the classroom and really connect the dots on career stuff.
I think it's, you know, when somebody helps you, and I felt like I was very fortunate when I was at Iona, and as much as I played baseball there, I went and I worked in the athletic department, and I had a few folks, you know, take me under their wings, all right, to help guide me, teach me. And I always, you know, really appreciated that. And I always wanted to figure out ways to kind of give back and help students who don't have the same, may not have the same opportunity. And I felt like if we could, you know, connect them to people that otherwise they wouldn't meet, that would be a big boost to them. And also to give them inspiration about listening to folks that were able to kind of bring to those forums about, I never thought about that job, or you know what, I have that character trait that that person's talking about. Maybe that's something that I can do. And so just to kind of bring them in and kind of shape the discussion about inspiration and aspiration. And you know, when you're in college, recently having two out of college over the last several years, and that question of, hey, what do you want to do? Well, I don't know. It's like, oh God, it pains me when I hear that answer. But if you bring people in and they're able to kind of share about how they found their way, all right, what moved them? Who motivated them? Did they have a mentor? What was the trigger point that said, this is probably something that I want to do that I'm really good at or that I can be good at? And if I bring in more people from outside industry, I'm not saying that one session that's going to connect, but maybe it's the second session or the third session that they connect. As long as you have some diversity in the type of people that you're bringing in front there, and they all have different backgrounds and they all had different paths to how they got to where they are, somewhere along the line, it's going to connect with that person who took the time out to sit in the chair and ask somebody that question. And so that was really one of the, I always remember just leaving those events and leaving with the students and, you know, feeling really good about that, about a particular event, as that student was just thinking about, wow, you know what, I'd never thought about it in that manner. And this has given me something to think about as far as a potential career path. And I think in the case of the accelerator program that talked about with SFIA, it's the same thing. I mean, these are people who are just starting out their career. They're figuring it out. And what I'm trying to do is, what we're trying to do is give them a broader picture about the various sectors within the industry and opportunities in the industry, and to have it be a resource for their career development.
Mm-hmm. Great answer. Well, what you did was definitely an inspiration for us doing this pod, you know, starting 8 years ago, because I think you said it quite well. Just hear the stories, all the young people who think there's a map you can draw and follow through a career need to know that there's no map. There's a lot of randomness, there's serendipity, there's luck, and people find a way usually. And it's good to listen to a lot of those stories. It's also, in my opinion, Glenn, I think the other benefit was, it was really good, and it still is, whether it's through this pod or guests coming to our class or the stuff you're doing with the accelerator, just hear about these different jobs. To your point a little while ago, I mean, we talked about this with John Sohegan when he was on recently. Not a lot of people come into sports and say, I'm really interested in licensing, even though it's a massive category. It's a very important part of the sports business. You never hear any young people talk about licensing. There are tons and tons of opportunities in licensing. And part of what I say to everybody, just listen to the different stories and you get a sense of what their jobs are like, the kinds of things they need to focus on and think about. And then if you start connecting with some of those, that will help determine at least your initial direction and you take it from there. So anyway, thank you.
Yes. Yeah. I couldn't agree more with that. And I do think that there's more opportunities for academic programs to look at licensing and sporting goods and fitness, and to put a little bit more focus, you know, on those, on that particular category.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Joe, any thoughts on that before we move to the last question?
No, I agree. I think it's tremendously helpful. And I think Glenn kind of addressed one of the two questions, but if you want to get to the, actually, there are two questions that we still have to ask.
Yes, that's true. Let's actually have fun with the easy question in the middle. We'll put it this time. Glenn, Joe came up with this idea a few weeks, like a month or two ago. We noticed, of course, because we do this on Zoom, we get a little glimpse into people's home offices, and we realize, especially in the sports biz, everybody's got little tchotchkes, mementos, stuff from their backgrounds. What's the best thing you got from the business that you cherish?
Oh, from the business.
Yeah, like through all your years and all the events and all the meetings. I'm looking at a few things in your background, but you have to make
Wow,
that
that's
call.
a, yeah, that's a,
You can pick one or
that's a,
two if you want.
that's a lot. Well,
All right, you're
what I
moving
got
away
here.
from the mic. You got to get back to the
I
mic.
know, I know, I know.
We should just pick some things off of the shelf,
Yeah.
actually.
How about Joe and I decide?
No,
You just show us your room.
it's funny because, this one,
Ooh, what is that?
Cup
Oh,
Crazy.
yes,
All
NHL.
right. So that was, that was something that was really special because that was really my first, that was my entry point into the NHL and helping to create a, first time ever themed playoff marketing program. And one of the cool things about that one was we did the whole Bring the Cup Home promotion with JCPenney's, where there was one person within the Stanley Cup champions market through a JCPenney won the opportunity to bring the Stanley Cup to their backyard for one afternoon during the summer. And so
That's
that was
funny.
really cool. So that was good.
And by the way, for everybody who didn't see what Glenn held up, it was called Cup Crazy. That was the promotion at the NHL back then.
Another thing now, this goes back, this is a little bit off sports, but this goes back to what Joe was saying, early on, when I worked at Canada Dry of New York, which actually became Coors of New York. So this is a 1987 Coors Banquet can that is a little bit dilapidated now. But we actually took on Coors Beer in 1987, and we were the distributors in New York in 1987, because before
Because it was
that,
new in the New York market then, right?
yeah,
Yeah.
before that, you people would go over to Connecticut or
Right.
go somewhere else to get their Coors, now Coors Light. But yeah, that was a Coors Banquet beer. So those were two items. I got a lot of other
Yeah.
different
Well,
items
that's
there, but
good. That's
those
a good
were.
one. Cup Crazy is a good memory.
And I do have a few 1994 World Cup momentums too, that now when that comes back to the US, I still held on to that. I actually even have a World Cup Jeff Hamilton jacket, if people remember him.
Glenn, do you have one of the, you guys can't see this, I don't think, but I've got the NHL 2000 hockey puck. Remember from Y2K? That whole thing, you must have one of those too.
Yeah, I think that's down. I think
Anyway, let's wrap
that's down in
this,
the, I
let's
think that's
land
down in
this
the
plane, as
archives.
they say. Last question, you can make this a quick answer. How do you keep up with everything? What kinds, any thoughts on or recommendations on what to read, what you're listening to? Whatever you can mention anything. I know you check out a lot of stuff, but if you want to highlight a couple of things, that would be
Yeah,
good.
I mean, I tell you what, it's tough. I get so discouraged sometimes where I couldn't get to everything. So,
I know.
the podcast in the morning. So whether it's front office, SBJ and Sportico, try to get those on the morning walk with the dog. Then I get my, Wall Street Journal, my general news, even my BBC World, I try to listen to. Sporting goods business, just as far as the industry, for our industry, in the case of sporting goods and fitness, is a regular read for me. So sporting goods business intelligence is a regular read for me, just to be on top of what's going on in this particular sector.
Cool. And then
Nice.
last question is give us all the places where people can find you and the organization.
So it's SFIA.org. So I'm at G HORINE at SFIA.org. And so you can follow us on our website. So we have a website, newsletter, a lot of information coming out from SFIA.
We neglected to point out, Joe, that Glenn is the uncle of one of our other friends and guests, Mark
Yeah,
Horan.
Tom, I don't know if you've had many siblings or at least
Or
distant relatives,
relatives.
Mark.
Yeah, that might be the first.
Wow, you
But
could
yeah,
probably have us on a podcast together.
shout out. M
Talk
maybe you
Iona
should do like
soccer.
that. I got an idea. Joe and I can be your producers. You and Mark Horan, like the Kelsey brothers, you do the Horan brothers on sports business. How's that? Or not brothers, but the Horan family on sports business.
Yes, we could make that happen.
Okay,
That'd be
we'll
great. I
follow up
can't
with you
wait.
on that. Anyway, Glenn, thanks for spending some time with us. Always a pleasure to hear from you. Congrats on the relatively new position. It sounds really fascinating. It sounds like it's a good match for you based on your wide-ranging interest in the business. ranging from partnership development to marketing to mentorship. It's all good. It's a
All
good
good.
yeah.
All
So
good.
thank you. We appreciate it, Joe. Thank you. Good to be back. I know you're in Vegas next week.
Yep.
You gonna do
You'll
some
be
pods out there, I assume?
we I we I assume we are. We have the whole crew going,
Okay.
so will be interesting starting by the time this comes out, we'll be in the midst of the jungle of podcasts with
Yeah. I think
our
last year
able.
you did like 37
Yeah,
podcasts
we
in a
did a
single
ridiculous
last
amount.
year. Because I think they were
So
still coming out in the summer last year, as I
yeah,
recall.
and we'll give Mike Schroeder, our producer, lots to kind of cut up at that point too.
Yeah, well, that'll be fun. But Glenn, thanks again on behalf of the program. And we wish you well in
Always
the
a treat,
job.
guys. Always a treat.
Yeah, and I appreciate everybody listening. Thanks to Mike Schroeder behind the scenes, our producer, who was terrific. And we thank Scott and LJ and Danny and the administration to su supporting us. And we thank our listeners for listening. Any thoughts about topics or guests, we're all ears. So please reach out. Anyway, enjoy the Super Bowl next week, and we'll see you on the next episode.